Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in English from Spelman College. She joined General Motors in 1984 as a district sales manager in the Chevrolet Motor Division, and since 2011, she's been the director of the General Motors Women's Retail Network. She was just honored by Northwood University with its Distinguished Women's Award. Her name? Celeste Briggs, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Celeste Briggs, who's the director of the General Motors Women's Retail Network. Celeste, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. I'm glad to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Well, as you've said, I'm a native Detroiter. Grew up in the city through the 60s and the 70s, and went to Cass Tech High School, graduated, and I have very fond memories of growing up here in Detroit, you know, living in some of the finer neighborhoods of the city, and very proud to be a Detroiter.
Celeste, your dad was in hospital administration, and your mom was in finance with Chevrolet. What's the biggest thing your dad taught you, and what's the biggest thing mom taught you?
Well, you know, never be afraid to try. They are not from Detroit originally. They moved here because of opportunity, like so many people did in the 50s and 60s. My parents were both college educated, did not have the opportunity to finish their degrees, but they had a great start. But they, you know, they said, you know, you get up every morning and you put your best foot forward every day. And I think they were the greatest role models of what working and raising a family represented to me. And I wanted to emulate that through my life.
As a young girl growing up in Detroit, Celeste, what were your dreams? What did you want to be?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there were so many things that I felt like the doors were open to me. Whatever I really put my mind to, I could do, have a love for art. Really wanted to be a curator for the DIA, and maybe I'll do that after GM. But you know, the city to me provided a lot of avenues for growth and opportunity. But I had to leave here, you know, to kind of get my start. But really, basically, the sky was the limit as far as I could see.
Speaking of leaving Detroit, you went to college in Atlanta, Spelman College. You got a bachelor's degree in English. Spelman has an aura about it. What makes it so special?
It does. It's a very special place. It's a historically black college and steeped in tradition. I was in the centennial class of 1981, and a lot of tradition there. But they're really interested in developing young women to be leaders. And that's one of the things that I can take away from that time. And I wouldn't trade those years at Spelman for anything in the world. It's a very special place. And they're continuing to do great work to this day. And they're still growing.
You followed your mom, and you got a job in 1984 with Chevrolet. What were your dreams back then as you walked into Chevy that first day?
You know, it's kind of funny. I actually worked in the plant. My first work experience with Chevrolet Motor Division, and I knew early on that, you know, working on the line was just not for me. I had to hurry up and finish my education. And I had the opportunity to be interviewed to be a district sales manager. And I had done some selling before coming to General Motors. I actually sold medical supplies in the city of Detroit for a small company. So I had that, you know, cold calling and knocking on doors experience, but really building relationships with people. And so when I interviewed for the position, not knowing where in the world I was going to get sent, I was really up for the challenge and looking forward to the opportunity.
What was GM like back in 1984?
It's a lot of guys. There were very few women doing what I was doing at the time. I think there were maybe three of us in the Southeast region, women who were actually contacting dealers. And I'm so glad to see that that's changed. But it was a tough environment, but it's one where there was growth and opportunity. And if you were really, I loved what I did, number one. I love cars and trucks and really enjoyed being in a position to help dealers. You know, I grew up basically in my career with dealers. In my whole 33 years, I can say that now, 33 years with GM, I have spent with our dealers. And that's pretty much prepared me for the work that I do today.
Your first 18 years, 1984 to 2011, tell us a little bit about those chapters.
Well, again, I started out in the field as a district sales manager calling on dealers, and then I had this opportunity. I got a call out of Detroit and says, guess what? You've been promoted. You're coming back to Detroit. And I'm like, oh, God. But it was a good time to come back. My kids were small. My parents were here. So that, from a family perspective, that turned out to be a really good opportunity. But it was something that I had been interested in pretty much mid-career, and that was to get involved in dealer network planning. And I had an opportunity to come into Chevrolet Motor Division in doing dealer network planning for GM. And that kind of really got me more involved in the administrative portion of how we facilitate that relationship with our dealers, you know, the working relationship. In 1999, I had the opportunity to basically rewrite the GM Dealer Sales and Service Agreement. That was a huge project. We worked with a lot of state organizations. We worked with the National Auto Dealers Association and got their endorsement for the process. We invited dealers in to really craft that agreement, and that's the relationship that the manufacturer has with its dealers in one that created win-wins for both sides and really, and ultimately, for the customers that we do business with.
Dealers throughout America, from all OEMs, they're legendary for giving back to the community. Whether it's Little League teams, you know, Boy Scouts, there's a disaster. Why are they so giving?
You know, I don't think dealers really get the credit they deserve for the work that they do, the philanthropic work that they do, and for being some of the best employers in the communities where they operate. You know, they really make it a business to be part of the community and supporting things that you wouldn't even know that they're supporting. They don't always, you know, stand out there and take credit for the work that they do, but they are very philanthropic in the work that they do in their own communities.
We're talking to Celeste Briggs of General Motors. When we come back, we're going to ask her where she was the morning of September 11th, 2001. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Celeste Briggs, who joined General Motors in 1984, Chevrolet Motor Division. The morning of September 11th, 2001, where were you?
Well, that was the morning that I guess was the official start of the Women's Retail Initiative. That's what it was called as we began this work, working with women dealers. We had invited dealers in from all over the country to help us chart the course for what would become now the Women's Retail Network. There were minority dealers, there were women dealers, and there were dealers from every corner of the U.S. basically we had recruited to be together. And I remember Patricia Roberts was our director at that time, and we had two other team members, Lisa Sunshine and Madonna Winter. And Marcia McGee was the communications person, and her phone kept going off. And we didn't understand what was going on. And she came back in the room and told us that there had been an attack in New York. We really couldn't wrap our minds around what that meant until we walked out into the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton in Dearborn and looked at the footage. And for some reason, we decided to press on. We stayed together that day, and we worked through the rest of that day. We had people from out of town who couldn't go home. And they decided to be committed to what they had been called to do. And I think, you know, that brought some seriousness to the work that we were embarking on now 15, going on 16 years ago. That was the day, of course, that changed the world. I look back on that and I said, you know, out of that very difficult day, we did triumph. So nothing was going to stop us at that point.
15 years later, you're the director of General Motors Women's Retail Network. What does GM's Women's Retail Network do, Celeste Briggs?
We are in the business of supporting our women dealers, both in the United States and Canada and now in Germany. We want to increase the number of women who are leaders of their businesses, but we also want to encourage other women to get in this business. There's some very lucrative careers. There's a lot of flexibility in terms of what you might do. And it's not a job. It really is a career that can provide some progression. You know, say if you came in as a sales consultant, you could end up being dealer one day. There's not a lot of businesses where that is really possible, but we see the possibility of that entrepreneurship happening. We're there to support them. We provide resources, training, education, and we even offer scholarships for young women who are interested in getting their education and coming into this business in either automotive management, retail, and technicians.
Some numbers. You have 249 women dealers today at GM, employing more than 13,000 employees. That's 5.9% of your dealers. You have 24 minority women-owned dealerships. Mm-hmm. So it's come a phenomenal way in these 15 years. One of the first iconic women dealer owners in this area was Irma Elder. Granted, she was not General Motors.
Actually, she was at one time. She had a Saab dealership when we had Saab. So I got a chance to know Irma. She was fabulous.
What made her so special?
You know, she would not be deterred. She knew what she and her husband were trying to build, and even in the face of tragedy, she took on that challenge to be able to hand that off to the next generation. And that's really the work that we're doing. We're trying to make sure that the next generation of women who may be coming up in their father's stores or the wives of those dealers are in a position to take over one day if the opportunity presents itself, either through tragedy or through planning. And we want to make sure that they're trained and ready to go, and we're providing appropriate support for them.
Her husband died tragically, suddenly, in 1983. Mm-hmm. So she had to take over this Ford auto dealership. Did a phenomenal job. You talk about a huge heart, too. A little woman with a huge heart. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Irma was a role model for a lot of women in this business and a leader in the community as well. She's left a mark, truly, on the industry.
Another role model, Patsy Lou Williamson, please.
Absolutely. Patsy Lou in Flint, Michigan, took over her husband's dealership, and it's a Chevrolet dealership and a Buick GMC dealership, and they really are at the heart of Flint in terms of their philanthropic activity. They do a lot for the community, and they're a great employer. In that area, too. Very large stores and very well run.
We'll talk a little later about Northwood's Distinguished Women Award. You were honored a few months ago as in the class of 2016. One of the other honorees was Judy Schumacher Tilton.
Yes, Judy. Judy was one of our first, success stories out of the Women's Retail Network. We met Judy early on under some very tragic circumstances. Both her brother and father were dealers, and they were ill at the same time and passed away. And Judy was not going to let that family legacy end there. And so she got herself involved with the Women's Retail Network, and through networking activities and meeting women who were in the business, they offered support to Judy, and we were there to help her as well. And so I'm proud to say that Judy is now has expanded her footprint and has three stores, and she's just really a phenomenal example of what networking and support can do, and that happened through the Women's Retail Network.
If you want to learn more, www.gmwomensretailnetwork.com. Years ago, we had this commercial, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When Celeste Briggs talks, people listen. And you've got three famous tips for success. The first one, be informed.
Yeah, that's one thing that this business is so dynamic that you really have to work hard to keep up. It's my business every day to really try and stay on top of trends, things that will bring success to our dealers, and really and keep me up to date, you know, with technology. And I used to manage my own website. I don't do that anymore, but I did. I took that on as a challenge, and I kind of taught myself some things along the way. But it's if you're going to remain relevant, you've got to stay informed.
Number two, keep your skills sharp.
Yeah, never stop learning. You know, be a student of the business. And when I've talked to students, I said, you know, your education does not end with your degree. It's actually a beginning, you know, because no one's going to train you for the job that you actually have. And most of the people who are in the workforce, I can say at GM, are not doing the things that they actually went to school for. It is just the thing that gets you in the door. And it's really up to you to keep your skills sharp so you can remain, you know, competitive.
The brain is a muscle, and the more you use a muscle, the bigger it gets. And in business today, you have to keep learning while you're earning.
That's right.
So, okay, the third point, build a strong network.
Absolutely. You know, networking, we kind of use that term loosely, but there are things that you can do to really keep yourself in tune with trends and really expanding your network as you're learning from these people that you meet every day. The Women's Retail Network is probably one of the best examples of some structured networking. We bring together dealers from around the world now into educational forums where they can learn from each other. And it doesn't end with the meeting. There are discussion groups online. These people call each other. They even fly to each other's stores when there's something that they need help with. But it's all about, you know, staying in touch. You know, no person is an island, and you can't succeed alone. So you do need to build a strong network.
We're talking to Celeste Briggs. When we come back, we'll ask her why so many women make such great salespeople. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm host Jack Krasula, and we're with Celeste Briggs, who joined General Motors 1984 as a district sales manager when there were almost no women selling, yet alone being sales managers. It's transformed these last 30-plus years. Why have so many women become such great salespeople?
Well, you know, selling outside of automotive is building relationships. I think women are probably more adept at building those relationships quickly by having conversations and building trust. Unfortunately, we don't see as many women as sales professionals in automotive. They only make about 7% of the total workforce and have a very high turnover rate, close to 90%. And so, you know, what that speaks to is culture. And when we're looking at millennials in the workforce, we're going to have to really adapt our culture to this new entry into the workforce. But they're really naturals at it. And it's not just selling vehicles, it's also selling service. We're excellent in terms of listening and building those connections and building trust with the customer in the service lane. Oftentimes when you go in to get your car service, you figure, oh my God, something bad is getting ready to happen to me. They're going to charge me too much. But to have someone in there who looks like the consumer, because, you know, about 60% of the vehicles that are being serviced are being brought in by women. It's good to make sure that you've got a good match in terms of the workforce meeting the community.
Your website, www.gmwomensretailnetwork.com, has a segment about women mean business. Let's talk about some of these facts. Women control more than $20 trillion, or about 70% of global consumer spending. You also say that global incomes of women are predicted to reach a staggering $18 trillion by 2018.
Yeah, those are some staggering statistics. But the fact of the matter is that often the woman is the CFO of her family. And she controls the purse, so to speak, in terms of making those big ticket item purchases. We say, 85% of the purchase decision is made by women, but I would take that a step further and say that women also have veto power. So not to say that they control it completely, but if she's not happy, it's not going to happen. So, sellers of goods have to be in tune to the fact that there is a high influence factor of women when making purchases, especially large purchases, car purchases in particular.
When you made the statement that women oftentimes have veto power in the house, I could hear your husband, Wade, even though he's not in the studio, say, amen, amen. And he would say, forget this, 85% of all purchases they have maker influence. In our house, Celeste Briggs has 100% influence of all purchases.
But, those are joint decisions that are being made. And the one thing that I could say on my husband's behalf is that if I was mistreated during a purchase, that we would leave. And that's the one thing that people have to be aware of, that you can't, disrespect either the husband or the wife in terms of when those when that transaction is taking place. So respect is real key in that.
Wade would say, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on. Another fact. Women bought 40% of the more than 16 million cars and trucks sold nationwide in 2015. That's up from 36% 5 years earlier.
Yeah, that's true. We're seeing a trend, and the whole industry is bound by this kind of methodology. It's really the person whose name appears on the title. We think that those numbers are a bit higher than that, but it really tracks along with women getting more college degrees, having more income available to them, being mobile in their careers. So, a car car doesn't have gender, but it does provide transportation. And we see with more women entering the workforce and earning their own money that they are purchasing their own vehicles.
In 1965, 1.2% of the graduates of Harvard Business School were women. This year, that number is going to reach 41%. Mm-hmm. Additionally, the average American woman is expected to earn more than the average American male by 2028.
It tracks along with graduation rates. And this is really important. More women are getting their bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. So it's getting closer to 50% that we can see in the future. So, if you have an education, the door becomes a little bit more open to you. And, women are becoming more educated.
Well, we don't have to earn as much as you women do, because every time you go shopping, you save us money, and then we catch up that way. So let's go on. True self-confidence, self-image. For the last 15 years, you've seen hundreds of women that their lives were changed very quickly, in some cases overnight. And they stepped up, and what they're doing now is amazing. Miracles in some cases. Talk to us about self-image and self-confidence. How do we get it, Celeste?
That's something that comes from within. But, as we're raising our children, we really have to pay attention to their self-image. There's a lot of things out there that would make a young person doubt themselves. But if they're getting encouragement from home and being taught that they can believe in themselves, they can rely on themselves, they can make decisions on their own, they don't have to, be beholden to a group, that helps to form them early on. So when they're met with challenges later on in life, they've got that good foundation. That was one thing. I think women are inherently more hard on themselves than they should be. But it's really good to have those, that early encouragement, training you up to be courageous.
What have these past 15 years taught you the most?
I'm in a unique position in the work that I do, because I'm the only one in the industry that does this work. So I'm always looking at ways to improve what I've done from year to year. The only barrier sometimes that people have are themselves. You know, saying, well, I shouldn't do that, or I can't try that. Well, if I think it's right and it makes sense and it's in line with the priorities of General Motors, then the sky's the limit. And really, I've, you know, kind of freed myself to be able to learn and grow and move the women's retail network along with the dealers that I work with.
Speaking of you being a woman in a most unique position, GM has another woman in a most unique position, Mary Barra, please.
Yeah, Mary is truly a role model in this industry. She's come up through the ranks, and I have the utmost respect for the work that she's doing in being able to chart GM's next chapter. The right person for the time.
When she was named, General Motors had some huge issues. Everybody that knew her says, well, she's going to do great. But she's surprised a lot of those people. She's done awesome.
Yeah, and she'll tell you. And she's got a great team, too. So it's not just her by herself. She's very humble. And it's good for us to see that as well, that, you know, she's got some very bright people around her helping to lead GM on its path.
I quote you now. General Motors is a change agent for women in business.
Yeah, even from our internal look at the company in terms of the pathways that women are taking now in terms of career, there's really no barrier in terms of the jobs that you can pursue internally and externally with our workforce and our dealers. There's really nothing to hold you back. But I think we're kind of on the cutting edge in that we've recognized our women dealers and the contributions that they're making in terms of what our dealer network is going to look like in the next 5, 10, 50 years to come.
22% of General Motors' salaried workforce today is women. And growing as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Celeste Briggs, the director of the General Motors Women's Retail Network. In an earlier segment, Celeste, you mentioned scholarship program. Tell us about the scholarship program, please.
The Women's Retail Network, along with the Women's Dealer Advisory Council, decided to support women in their educational pursuit of automotive, either technical certification or degrees. And they put together a scholarship program, which we help manage. This is our seventh year. We've given away about $150,000 in scholarships. The awards range from $2,500 to $5,000. And students have to be enrolled in either an automotive management program, marketing program, or a business program that is automotive related. And if they are studying to be certified technicians, it's our surprise when we started this program, we thought that this was going to train up the next generation of would-be dealers. But we found out that one year we had about 40% of our applicants were women who were studying to be technicians. So we broadened the scope of the scholarship, and so we support women who are going into either technical or business management-related careers in automotive.
We met in September, I believe. There was a black tie function at the Townsend where Northwood University had its 47th class of distinguished women. Celeste Briggs, Audrey Klein, Maureen LaFontaine, Terry McCauley, Judy Schumacher-Tilton, Patricia Ann Shahan, and Deborah Haynes Stevens. That's the list of women that have been honored through the years, Celeste, is unbelievable. Worldwide. What was that night like?
It was like nothing I was prepared for. When I got the call from Dr. Keith Priddy, who's the president of Northwood University, telling me that I had been chosen to be a part of this very select group of distinguished women, I was just blown away. The whole weekend was just phenomenal, and that's when I met you. But we did a panel discussion. We did with Florine Mark and a few of the other honorees who were selected. Then leading up to that wonderful evening where we were being honored, I was just in awe of the women who were in the class with me. And I kept saying, wow, I'm really here. But it was a beautiful night. And just really, each one of us had distinguished ourselves in our own way. And it was an honor to be selected with that group of women.
When you and Wade went home that night and you put your head on the pillow, what did you think?
It was amazing. You know, it really goes to kind of the heart of what this show is, that anything is possible. Some of those people had no idea that they would be doing the things that they ended up doing during their lives. And that's the one thing that you have to open yourself up to, is opportunity and possibility. I was really impressed with a number of them, because some of them started off doing something completely different than what they ended up doing, you know, in their business life and in their work life and in their works in the community even. But they had dreams and goals, and they stuck to it and saw it through.
Dr. Keith Priddy, I don't call him doctor, I just call him Keith, Northwood University, fabulous place, and they had students introduce the honorees that night.
They did. We were each assigned a student, and they interviewed us a couple of weeks before the event, so we got to know our student. One of the students, Norma Benavides, was one of our scholarship winners, as a matter of fact, for Drive to Succeed. And she, you know, like a lot of students, they don't know when they go to school what they're actually going to end up doing. She has an automotive background and said, nah, I don't want to do that because, you know, that's what my family does. I want to do something different. And discovered through interactions with some dealers and with me and a few of the professors that this is where her passion is. And she's going to go on and pursue a career in automotive retail. But those students were just fantastic. I was so impressed.
General Motors and Northwood University have a new initiative now. Starting in the summer of 2017, they're going to offer a summer internship program.
Yes. Our Women's Dealer Advisory Council and our Minority Dealer Advisory Council have partnered with Northwood University to host students in the Northwood University system. So that means Northwood and Midland and Long Beach, California, wherever there is a Northwood partnership, and online students are eligible for these summer internships. All they need to do is visit the Northwood Career Development Portal and make an application, and we will direct them to a dealership that's close to them. So we have dealers in several states, not just here in Michigan, but across the country, who are willing to open their doors. And it's not limited to students who are interested in automotive. There are other business degrees that the skills are transferable. So if you're a finance student, if you're a marketing student, if you're in digital, because there's certainly a home for you in automotive retail.
Northwood is loaded with terrific young future stars. Yet many of our young people today are afraid and are paralyzed to take healthy risks. They don't want to fail. What do you say to those people?
You know, a lot of times they just don't know what the opportunities are. You know, they need a little guidance. They need somebody to say, you know what, we're looking for you. And I don't think they hear that enough. As I had mentioned, we talked to one of the students, Norma, and I said, do you realize that this industry is looking for people just like you? And I think she kind of stopped for a minute, and I don't think that kids hear that enough, that you have skills and qualities that employers are looking for. Be courageous, get yourself prepared, and go out there and take a risk.
Speaking of opportunities, you're a Detroiter. As you go downtown every day and see this rebirth, it changes by the week. What are your thoughts?
I'm glad to see it happen. Detroit was a beautiful city, and it will be again. And it's not just the downtown areas. I've seen renovations take place in my own neighborhood because I currently live in the city of Detroit now. I was glad to move back. I believe in the city. I believe in its neighborhoods. We've got some beautiful homes here and some great people. And the city deserves what is happening right now to it.
General Motors actually has more women in the service departments than they have on the sales floor. And these people in the service departments, that's a tough job. Because when I come in, something's wrong, usually wrong with my car. Talk about the jobs they do in the service departments.
Well, you know, our service consultants, the people that greet you when you first come in, they're not designed to fix your cars, but they're there to help you with whatever problem you may have. And we've got a group of women, our service and parts professionals. We created a forum for them back in 2014. We started looking at the number of women who were actually in our fixed operations area in dealerships. And I was just reading just today, as a matter of fact, that the largest number of women in automotive happened to be in fixed operations in the service area. The highest retention of employees is back there. So we refer to it kind of the back end and the front end of the business, but that's really the backbone if you want to get to it. When you buy a car, you're only in there for one time. But when you're servicing it, that's over the life of your vehicle. And we want to make sure that we retain you, Jack, as a customer. So we have to treat you well.
If you get me in that front door, unless you service me well, I'm out that back door and you never see me again, right?
That's right. We realize that.
Every day is a tryout in business. Every day is a tryout.
That's right.
As our time winds down this evening, Celeste, what advice would you give to our young listeners, please?
Please get yourself educated. And I've said this on a number of interviews, and I'll say this over and over and over again. The only barrier to success is not being educated. You have to really put your best foot forward when you enter that classroom every day, because that's your job, is to get your education, because that's what's going to carry you for the rest of your life. That's the only thing that's going to hold you back. When someone says, you know, do you have a high school diploma? You know, that's a box that you check. Do you have some college or a degree? That's another box that you check. When you start, you must finish. And however long it takes you to finish, just finish. Because that's what's really going to be your ticket to get your foot through the door.
Celeste Briggs, everybody that knows you says she's got a heart of gold, she's a natural leader, and she's just classy through and through. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you.
And keep up the great outfits. Amen. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohome.
Believe in yourself.